A Boundless Reservoir. My name's Chris Norris, and good afternoon. I actually have a earlier start today, and so had a little bit of downtime, and so we're getting on the podcast early. And so, of course, today is Wednesday, January the 29th, and so also have church services this evening, as usual. On Wednesdays, our church actually has a time of fellowship with food, and that starts at 6 p.m. So if you're hungry physically and hungry spiritually, come and have, I think we're having chicken noodle soup and grilled cheese this evening. So at 6 p.m. at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Lowell, North Carolina. So come on out and get you some soup and a grilled cheese, and maybe even hang around and listen for the teaching that Pastor Mitch will share this evening. So looking forward to having that time with our church family. It's it's something when you sit down and actually, as described, you could word it this way, that you break bread with one another. It's kind of like, I always used to be facetious about it and say, when my boys were thinking about dating, and I'd say, always be good on your first date to take a girl to eat ribs, barbecue ribs, right? Of course, that would probably be like not going to happen because of the mess. Might need some extra napkins because of the sauce, right? Finger licking good. Anyway, had a good conversation yesterday evening. Of course, thanks again to Mr. Eric Gunner and his sharing his heart last night. I appreciate the time that he took to do so. Again, we will have other guests that come along. I would also say that if you listened to yesterday or last night's podcast, another thing that I'm having to try to navigate through is the sound. I think just the orchestration of that. I'm not a audio tech, I guess, audio visual, just kind of, we're kind of making some progress there. So bear with us on that as we, again, kind of work through all the technicalities with audio. The other thing is that, I would say that today, yesterday, the weather has changed. And as I was going outside to take the chickens some scraps, every time we have leftovers, they get the scraps, whatever that is. And so I was taking it to them, and as I was going to the backyard, it seemed like there was smell of charcoal. So I guess people were already lighting the grills with the change of temperatures. It's amazing how that kind of gets us excited about the warmer temps that are, on the horizon for later in this year. But again, we're only at the end of January, so surely there'll probably be some cold weather lingering around, I imagine. Look forward to the warmer temps, and just the springtime is pretty as always. I've even thought about, we've always had the garden, raised garden beds there. I was thinking this year, Reagan may get excited about this. Is actually, making them a little bit, the wood started to rot out. So we need to reconstruct what we have. And so we may do some redesign. I tell you, it seems like we've always been fortunate and blessed with the little gardens we've had, especially, I don't know what it is about the jalapenos, man. Those plants will produce, it's almost like all the way through October. that we've always had a good turnout with produce, and sometimes even like with tomatoes and so on. But that's always, it's fun to do with the kids too, to have a little garden. Maybe just throwing it out there this year, if you don't have a garden, maybe try it out, see what you think, and you know, get the kids involved, get their hands in the dirt and all those things. It's pretty cool to do. Reagan does a phenomenal job with like canning and freezing stuff like that. So always kind of a exciting time when that season rolls around, and it'll be here before I know it. You know, one of the things that I always get kind of excited about, I guess, for the sports people out there, some of you may not like sports, is, you know, the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, the March Madness is what they call it, and just kind of what all happens there. So, yeah, a lot of things going to be changing, so excited about that. And ultimately, again, if the Lord wills, we'll be a part of it and we'll see it, right? But yeah, got to have a good breakfast this morning. Had a good conversation with an old friend of mine. Just kind of spent some time with him, and yeah, here we are. So we'll dive back into James today. Like I said, we had kind of taking a little bit of a break, and some other things that I had shared in Ephesians Monday, you know, in regards to our churches and where that stems from. And again, my mindset is you have to understand that I have been a part of majority of my life as far as in church, and kind of raised in that, and you know, went to a Christian college, and a lot of things there that I know sometimes I don't mean to come across in a way that's judgmental, nor in a way that I'm Monday morning quarterback and what's done, but or critical spirit. It's just more so out of concern, just because the aftermath that happens from, you know, a lack of humility in brothers and sisters. And so I guess ultimately we would say that, you know, the takeaway from it all is, as I have tried to defend as best I could, is that the basis for my conviction is that even in my own understanding of how God has allowed us to function in the church, it's for His glory, and it's His design, it's His work, just as it is with our family, our lives. You know, ultimately, the big takeaway from it all is He gave it, and He's allowed it, so therefore to Him be honor and glory forevermore. And that's a maybe more so a redundant theme that runs throughout our life, and how things have orchestrated themselves. God has shown his great work in Reagan's life and my life, and now as we've come together for these last 25 years and you know, worked together to raise this crazy family of now 7. So here we are. But yes, I would just say that it's in a time of how we consider the truths of what God has given us, and how we're good stewards of what He has put us responsible over. And so let us do well. But jumping back into James, James chapter 1. So we're going to go to verse 17, and it says this. It says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures." So, let's say the radiance, light, Father of light, there is no shadow. Yeah. God reveals all, and so therefore we are utterly consumed by him. You know, I think that's the truth behind why Moses couldn't behold God, because the Bible says that he would die. The radiance of God and the goodness of God is so magnificent that we, our limitations from a human perspective, could not withstand his whole way of basically presenting himself before us. Our eyes, we would be consumed. And so, you know, as I read this passage, I think the point to where we're drawn in a direction of, you know, seeing how the description of God, and then again who he is and his display of grandeur, right? And then we would take that to say that there's nothing, as James says there, there's no variation and there's no shifting shadow. Now, many times there would be descriptions of people in our life, and even maybe the classification of how we are ourselves, is that there are variations and things that shift continually, right? That's just human nature, if you will. There's ways in which things can irritate us, aggravate us. We can become frustrated. And so there are different ways in which, again, we react to those circumstances that surround us each and every day. But the truth about God and his character is there's no variation in how he continues to be faithful in his display of a holy and good character towards us. So the takeaway from that is that there's encouragement. There's a point of solace of being consumed by that thought in the midst of everything else that seems to have so many different variables and so many things that change and so many things that can be shifted. You know, I say shifted, that reminds me of when I first started driving to drive a stick shift manual. Yeah, there's a words. I mean, there's probably not many cars out there. I would imagine everything's pretty much automatic now, right? And one of the big challenges with driving the stick shift was, is, you know, not to roll back. That was always the hurdle in which you had to overcome, because if you were on a hill and you didn't let the clutch out fast enough, then the vehicle would roll back, and then of course that would cause a lot of heartache. And so, you know, you'd have to kind of finagle and get used to that. I always enjoyed driving a stick shift. I know some people said that was kind of a pain, but I don't know, kind of had the NASCAR mentality, I guess, as you shifted gears. But anyway, the changing process of, you know, back and forth and reverse and first, second, third. And yeah, it's just the beauty of God is that he's a constant in the midst of, I've said this before, the chaos, right? The whirlwind of, you know, spaghetti sauce splattered on the wall, for those of us who have had kids that were in baby seats, little, you know, chairs that throw everything everywhere, right? I don't know if anybody remembers those days. I know we do. And so, you know, there's no variation in that. And so I'm grateful to understand that in my faith, and as I continue to walk with God, and even though the things in my life sometimes can be very unstable, right? The things in which we would imagine, hey, there's money in the bank. You know, I have a job. I have securities. I have benefits. And, you know, everything is great. you know, and there's plenty there in the storehouse. And then the storehouse gets burned up. You know, it can, things can change. And I think that's where we find ourselves in this realm of how we operate. But thanks be to God that, he doesn't change, and he doesn't quiver at the ways in which man's schemes and plots seem to employ amongst us. So I'm grateful. And just, it's peaceful. It's peaceful for us. And then notice what he says. He says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures, that we can actually be reflective of this, of which I've described, right? Because of what God has given and what he's allowed us to be a part of. So I would say that we being his creation, and how God orchestrated all these things for his glory, ultimately, we would dare say that in Genesis, there that when God said, let us make man in our image, that no other creature, as the Bible clearly states, has these attributes that are given by God to us to be a point of which we should reflect, we should show these things of stability in the midst of how God wants to work in our lives so that others may know him, and then also see how he can work in their life as well. And so we would say yes, the first fruits, the representation of these things in which God is doing, and how we are again, we kind of mimic those things. I'm often reminded of my children and some of their tendencies, as my wife would say, is they act just like you. And all of that's good, by the way, right? We would say that the things that aren't so good are from our wife's side of the family, right? Now, I'll probably get that later. I'm just joking. You know, and our kids, they do kind of resemble us, you know, in our actions and things in which we may say or do. And so, like, one of the things that sometimes it has always fascinated me about my children is that their sincere heart. I'd say probably, you know, four kids, and I'd say a lot of times I've seen the tenderness of my children in times where it spoke volumes as a father, is to see that, you know, as I've described in the past, that there is some form of compassion. And I think I would say in grace, that's been something that we've tried to live before our kids, Reagan and I both, and probably Reagan more than me, and just the graciousness towards people, you know, and how they've developed that. So I'm grateful for seeing that in my children's life. And, you know, I think here in James, when the description of what in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, you know, the word of truth, you know, all that we should really proclaim is what God has provided, and that is who he is through his word. And we should be faithful about that. And so, and I think, again, that's the evidence of even what we've talked about in times past, of how that becomes evident through our actions and words, and in those seasons of life where it can seem, you know, and this is the reason why I think James starts off with considerate pure joy, my brethren, when you go through trials in chapter one, is because of what we're a part of, is that we can consider that and we can go through those because of what we are a part of and how God has demonstrated that at great lengths. And so therefore he's been fully descriptive and he's been fully consistent and he's been fully repetitive throughout the Bible, that we see that truth that pushes through again and again, you know. Just the other day I was standing there on the front porch going to a call, and as I was standing there, I was, you know, every now and again I would hear the woodpecker, you know, just a faint, you know, pecks there, and it would stop and then it would come back and stop and come back. It took a little bit, and you would dare say that I'm not like comparing God's functionality to a woodpecker, but I would say the persistence in which God continues to deliver a message of consistent truth to us to draw from. So therefore, we can, in those moments of difficulty, adversity, again, we can push through, because some of us, not every day is a good day. Some of us have bad nights. Some of us don't sleep at night. Some of us wake up in pain. Some of us have days of, you know, regret and anxiety. Some of us deal with emotional stress and maybe the heartache of what was described even last night. The jobs that we're in can be difficult, and a place of, you know, trying to get something accomplished, but it just seems again and again that things just continue to fail. So we would classify it as, yes, there's a daily battle that we all face, and it's in our own arena. And I think again the description of how James states of what we've been connected with and how God is consistent in his nature towards these attributes that now he has so graciously allowed us to be a part of. So my encouragement as we continue on throughout the rest of this week is that we would see the importance of how God has equipped us and he's allowed us to be a part of this great work. And we would maybe say that, well, it doesn't appear like there's a great work where I'm at right now, but it really is. And I get picked on a lot because I've said this in the past, is that I love some of the hymn songs. You know, I would really love church service to be a cappella. I know that's, you know, probably not going to happen, but there's just something beautiful about when you have 150 people or 100 people and everybody's singing and praising God. Just a thought. But I would say that, you know, there's an old hymn song that says, little is much when God is in it. And there's a stanza, refrain. I'm not musically gifted with all that. But anyway, there's a part in there that says, does the place that you seem to labor seems so small and unknown? It is great if God is in it, and he'll never leave his own. And all of us, in our own way, have a ministry that's set before us. It's just in how we view that. And it's a great ministry. It's a great call. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, I would encourage you to look at what's around you. Know that every good thing is from above and that God has granted us to be a part of this thing called life. And I believe in my heart that he'll help us and guide us to our eternal destination one day. And as the song says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.